Ramsey TV.
Merrily we roll along, roll along, roll along. Merrily we roll along, yet that is that what we're doing? Really? I thought we were suffering evil with the evangel. We're merrily rolling along. I don't know what world that the writer of that song was living in, but we are living in the real world. It's not so pleasant, although, you know, we do have some reprieve once in a while. God gives us Filippo Berio extra virgin olive oil. We thank God for that. We thank God for balsamic vinegar by this guy named Don Anicio. Oh, there he is. Don Anicio hangs out by the grapes, makes vinegar out of them. I don't know, in his spare time, he might ferment it, make it into some wine. You never know. This is Martin Zender from the Edge of the Bottom of the Floridan Peninsula, making sense for a living since 1993. Now, I objected to a couple comments yesterday on my video. This is my video called, It was called How Paul Fights His Chicken. Yes, the old chicken with the head cut off analogy being that God has dealt a fatal blow to sin and death, and we can now enjoy that prospect. We're not yet delivered out of the body of death, but we enjoy the prospect. Yeah, and in the meantime, that old chicken with the head cut off runs around. Runs around, does stuff, unsavory things, we're supposed to ignore it. Now, a couple gentlemen made a comment yesterday, and there's nothing really wrong with these comments, except they're wrong. But I don't object to the objection, and it was done in a good spirit, but I'm going to comment on it today. And I do this not only for my own sake, but for Paul's sake. Paul's not here to defend himself and to set the record straight. Now, I'm famous for teaching that God is in control of everything, that we can do nothing except what God does through us, that in Him, that out of Him, through Him, and into Him is all, Romans 11:36. And so many people can't understand how I can speak of God as Paul does in Romans chapter 9, as the potter, and we're the clay, and clay is inert. Except we're not clay, we're human beings. But in the same way that a potter controls clay, God can control animated human beings. We're not literally clay. We think, we talk, we move, we act. And God is telling us that He can control us as thoroughly and as completely as a potter controls the clay. It's just a fact. However, what do I teach against constantly? That would be fatalism. This idea, well, that everything is of God, so everything's easy, we're not supposed to do anything, we just sit around. See, this is the objection. When people hear this, they object to the idea that some people would take that truth and use it to sit on the sofa and not do anything. They use it to become fatalists. A fatalist is someone who knows that God is doing everything, but has the attitude, que será, será. Whatever will be, will be. Well, that is true. Whatever will be, will be. But as I've been telling you constantly, we don't know what will be. And so we struggle within this bubble of ignorance, as we're supposed to do. Here are the comments. Again, I'm not going to name these gentlemen. They're public comments. I could name them. I don't, I'm not upset about it. I just want to correct the record. And again, these objections were put up in a good spirit. So I have no problem with this whatsoever. So yesterday's show, I spoke about how Paul dealt with that rogue chicken running around the barnyard after its life force has been cut off. And I said that as far as his behavior goes, and this goes for us too, we are not obligated to fix our behavior. We're not obligated to frontally attack our flaws, our sins, to tend to our flesh. We know that, okay? But even while Paul's not doing that, I said that he was doing something else. What was he doing? He was struggling to reach something higher than salvation. That's what this is all about. Here we go. Get ready. Higher than salvation. Not many people know about this, that there's something above and beyond salvation, mere membership in the body of Christ, which is an allotment. And God knows that we like to work for stuff. So we're not working for salvation in general. We're working for those of us who have this disposition. We're working for an allotment among the celestials. We want to rule and reign with Christ. Not because we have some need to lord it over other people, just because I want everything God has for me. And it's true that if this is for me, or if it's for you, it's already determined. Everything's already determined. That's a no-brainer. But as I keep saying, I hope you're getting this straining and struggling for this allotment is presented as a strain and a struggle. It's presented as straining to get a wreath, to be in a race, to earn a reward. It's presented that way. Even though we can look back or we can look ahead and say, well, God's doing it all. He's doing it all anyway. And we still get applause at the dais of Christ just for being members of the body of Christ. Yeah, when we appear before Christ, everybody gets applause. But what? Remember the Three Stooges routine? Gentlemen, somebody comes in and looks at the Three Stooges, says, gentlemen, they look behind. Who, what? Gentlemen, what? We're going to get applause at the dais of Christ. Boom, 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 boom. What? Why? What? Who? Me? What? Me? Me? Why are you applauding for me? God, you did everything. That's irrelevant that God did everything. The fact is that you were the person, the real person he was animating, and you do stuff and you get applause for it, except for those things you did that weren't good, and then those get taken away, and then you're relieved on them. There's no condemnation for members of the body of Christ. But if, as I said before in the free will series, if God can judge people whom he makes hard, then he can certainly reward people in whom he does the work. We covered that. So now here are the comments. One gentleman said, Paul, or we, need not train to run a race to win a prize that Christ has already won. What prize has Christ already won? I'll answer that question. The prize that Christ has already won is he saved the world, that he won that. We don't have to win that. Christ already did it. But that's not the race Paul's talking about. We need not train, this gentleman says, to run a race to win a prize that Christ has already won. Right. We don't win the prize of saving the world. We don't win the prize of taking away the sins of the world. It's something else. Humanity's race, this gentleman continues, is simply to grasp what Christ has won on its behalf. No, I disagree with that. That's something that humanity will do if God gives faith. They grasp what Christ has won on its behalf. But when Paul is struggling in the evangel, he's not doing it to grasp what Christ has won. He's already done that. He grasped it on day one. Of course, his understanding became perfected. But he's racing to win a prize. He says that. I quoted yesterday in Philippians chapter 3 especially. He's already grasped the evangel. He's been teaching it for dozens of years, so he's reaching out for something else, and this is what it is. Philippians 3, I didn't quote this thoroughly yesterday, I'll do it today. Not that I have already obtained, Paul's talking about in verse 12 there, or I'm already perfected, yet I am pursuing, if I may be grasping also, that for which I was grasped also by Christ Jesus. Brethren, not as yet am I reckoning myself to have grasped it. What's it? We'll find out. Yet one thing, forgetting indeed those things which are behind, yet stretching out to those in front, toward the goal am I pursuing for the prize, this is not salvation, this is not understanding the evangel, the prize of God's calling above in Christ Jesus. This is the allotment. This is the special parcel of real estate that some in the body of Christ will be inheriting. Whoever then are mature may be disposed to this. You don't have to be mature to understand the evangel. You become mature after you understand the evangel. The fact that Paul uses the word mature here tells you that he's not talking about, as this man writes, what Christ has won on our behalf. That's already been grasped. Whoever are mature may be disposed to this, and if anything else, you are differently disposed. If you don't want this, if you're happy being mere member of the body of Christ, which is alone winning the lottery, then that's fine. God will reveal it to you, Paul says. Moreover, in what we outstrip others, that means in anything where we do better than anybody else, where somebody in the body of Christ does great service where other people aren't. They're just sitting around enjoying it. That's fine. In what we outstrip others, there's to be a mutual disposition. In other words, if I'm straining to attain a wreath like Paul was, and if I'm straining to reach out for this high calling, for this allotment, and you aren't, I can't lord it over you. I can't pretend like I'm better. No, I'm to be mutually disposed to you. I'm not supposed to walk around arrogant like the Pharisees did. Paul certainly didn't. Observing the elements by the same rule. In other words, I'm in the boat, and I've always said that. People like my show because I'm in the boat with everybody else. I'm nothing special except that I've learned this stuff to a T, and I can explain it simply. I can make the complicated simple. That's what I do. More on that in a second. So Paul says, I'm not all that. I don't come to an ecclesia like floating 2 inches above the ground with a halo over my head. And it's like, oh, you people are so privileged that I've deigned to visit your ecclesia. Not that at all. By the same rules. Become imitators of me, Paul says. Become imitators of me. Nevertheless, he's straining for something. He wants the power of the resurrection. See, there is the resurrection. There's a better resurrection. When I saw that in Hebrews, I admit that's the circumcision gospel. But I think it was my ex-father-in-law pointed it out to me in like 1983. It was 1983. I saw this phrase in Hebrews, a better resurrection. I said, what? A better resurrection? How can you have a better resurrection? Isn't resurrection resurrection? No. And this is for the circumcision gospel in Hebrews. But how do they get a better resurrection? One word. Ladies and gentlemen, one word. Do you want a better resurrection? This is a transadministrational truth. It's suffering with the message. Suffering because of the message. Being disregarded. Being outcast. Being humiliated. People thinking you're crazy. That's part of it. Just by heralding the message of the salvation of all, the sovereignty of God. You will go against religious tradition, especially with the salvation of all, with Paul's distinct message, the gospel of the grace of God, and you'll suffer some sort of persecution. Take it to the next level. Yeah, herald it. Go out, actively herald it. See what happens then. And then the next level is getting killed for your faith, or yeah, getting jailed, killed, whatever. That's the cherry on top. Yeah. Do I want to get killed for my faith? I wouldn't mind. Yeah. To me, that's a double bonus. You get out of this world and you get this cherry on top. It's like, ooh, yeah, for the faith, not doing something stupid, like doing some kind of unicycle stunt in front of a bus. No, that's not suffering evil for the evangel. We all suffer evil, but this is a specific kind of evil. So let's go back to these comments. All will grasp it, right? All will grasp it when God's plan is consummated at the close of the eons. In the interim, we are enslaved in the role God has predetermined. Now see, it's true, we're enslaved to the role God has predetermined, but this is not how this race is presented. Well, it's predetermined. It suggests, it invites fatalism, and I hate when this happens. Trying to qualify ourselves for any other prize is punching the air. Not true. No. When Paul was talking about punching the air, as I told you yesterday in 1 Corinthians 9, 26 and 27, he's talking about the behavior of the body. He's talking about bringing his body into subjection. He's not talking about suffering evil with the evangel. Not talking about that there. He is trying to qualify himself for something. The writer goes on, we become disqualified in any race for a corruptible wreath requiring our own religious self-effort. We're not talking about religious self-effort here. We're not talking about the effort to improve yourself. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about suffering evil with the evangel. You're not dealing with yourself in this case. That's already been done. Christ did that. He already took our sins away. He already justified us, pronounced us righteous. What I'm talking about, and what Paul's talking about in Philippians 3, is taking this message out, suffering evil for it, being persecuted for it. Now, somebody answered this guy and said, I like that. My response is, I didn't like that. I did not like it. But anyway, this other gentleman comments on the former gentleman, I like that. If we try and improve ourselves, we are focusing on the lust of the flesh. Again, not talking about trying to improve ourselves here. Talking about straining ahead to suffer evil with the message. Nothing to do with the self. The flesh is dead. Yes, I think that maybe Paul was concerned how the Jews and Gentiles were fussing over certain things while the precepts were still in force. Don't understand that, but once Israel was set aside, then we are blessed with all spiritual blessings. We need not try to gain anything else. Not true, because Christ has already done that for us. It's true in the sense of we need not gain anything else as far as our justification is concerned. Of course. But this, what I'm talking about and what Paul's talking about in Philippians 3, the calling above, the prize, run the race to win, Paul says. Run the race to win. What is he talking about? Something above and beyond salvation. Christ has already done that for us. Paul's fight was continually over the law and grace. That's not true. That was part of Paul's fight. But Paul's fight was to bring everyone into maturity. Paul's fight was for the ecclesia, to bring them to an understanding of the truth. Nothing to do with him tending to his body. For that, he kept his eyes single to Christ. Romans 6, Matthew 6, 22. No, to bring the ecclesia to maturity, constantly struggled for that. I can bet that when he was put in prison and there were no more precepts and the Jews lost their Jews' first privilege, that Paul became a lot more relaxed. When I saw this relaxed word, it got me a little upset. Paul's fight was continually over law and grace. When he was put in prison, there were no more precepts and Jews lost their Jews' first privilege. Paul became, I understand what the writer is saying here. He's saying that Paul was now limited. He couldn't go out and battle this law versus grace constant battle he had with the circumcisionists. I understand that. But I commented, Paul himself says that he does not want to be disqualified. He himself is struggling, this is my answer, to be qualified. He's certainly not struggling to be aware of his membership in the body of Christ. He was aware of that on day one. And I said to the first writer, you're leaning toward fatalism here. To the second writer, I said, I don't like this. Paul was certainly not relaxed. Yeah, I see what he says now. He was relaxed in prison and that he didn't have to fight law and grace anymore. He was straining to present everyone mature in Christ. Yeah, that's what he was doing when he was out of jail. So I understand the comment now. Yeah, certainly Paul didn't have that battle anymore. But this evangel, this gospel, this word is so difficult. It is such a strain. Paul says he struggled, and I'm speaking for him now because he can't speak. And I'll speak for myself at the same time. Paul was continuously struggling. He had to travel treacherous routes. He had to go by land, by sea. He was in danger constantly of robbers. He was in danger from his own countrymen. He was in danger in the city, in danger in the country. He was beaten by the Jews 5 times. The guy was shipwrecked. The guy was a nervous wreck, wondering how the ecclesias were doing. He would constantly send his buddies out to the ecclesias to check on them. He says, above all the trials, my solicitude for the ecclesia causes me the most pain. And that is the same with me towards you. I cannot tell you how many emails I've answered in 27 years. It got to the point where I got so stressed over it that I had to stop. And now I'm a lot less corresponding of a person than I used to be. I apologize to that, but I can't help it. I totally topped out and it was such a strain, but I felt obligated to help you. And I still do. I still feel obligated. That's why I get up. Even if I go to bed late for some reason, like midnight, I set my alarm at 4:30 to get up and do this show. It's a strain. It's a struggle. The technology is unbelievably hard for an idiot like me. I'm constantly concerned about the sound, about the video. I'm constantly concerned about, the upload speeds and everything else. I try to get this to you on time. And doing the conferences, flying to hundreds of conferences over the years. I mean, I'm not here boasting about myself. I'm just saying that God has given us, those of us who want it, a vast struggle. And I'm speaking for Paul. When he was alive, he certainly was not relaxed. He certainly did not rest on his laurels. He certainly did not sit around and thinking, well, I'm just glad I'm a member of the body of Christ. I mean, you can do that. But instead, he took it out. He went to the trouble to go to Mars Hill, which was a pain in the ass. He had to put up with all those marble statues, all those inscriptions, all those toga-wearing freaks, all those Epicurean Stoic philosophers. He had to put up with all that crap. Everywhere the guy went, he was stoned, shipwrecked, something bad happened to him. If he had a year of peace, he was in good shape. He stayed in Corinth for a while. He stayed at some guy's house, and it was nice, and he stayed there for a couple years because it was nice. He goes, well, this is nice. I like this. Then once in a while, he got some peace, and he made tents. But otherwise, it was a constant struggle. Paul called it a vast struggle. I've called it that many times. This is a vast struggle, and I'm a wreck practically from it. I mean, I'm still at peace in Christ, but over 27 years, I'm getting to be a wreck because of this. Because I want to present all of you mature in Christ Jesus. I want to give you information that maybe you don't have. I want to establish you in the truth and make sure you're rooted and grounded. I get upset if somebody wanders off the reservation, like, where are you going? What are you doing? What kind of information did you hear? Why? Because I care. And it's hard to care. It was hard for Paul to care. And yet, we're called to this. This is what we have to do. Woe to us if we don't announce the evangel. There's that.